offering humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. This, dear listeners, is Prem from Team Radio Sai, welcoming you all for yet another enlightening segment of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Before we begin, let us offer a most humble and reverential pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet and thank my brother Bishu for the wonderful bhajan tutor. And as it happens every week, I am being joined to co-host this show by Brother Sai Prakash. Sai Ram, Sai Prakash.
Sai Ram, Prem.
Dear listeners, if you've been following us, you'll be aware that we are studying the series of discourses which Bhagwan gave as part of the 1990 summer course. And we have completed two of the discourses, the inaugural discourse, the discourse Swami gave on the same day in the evening, and the discourse which we are studying right now is the third discourse.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami is beautifully, you know, going on layer by layer, as we have discussed before.
Correct.
Swami gave an overall picture in the first discourse, how you can relate culture with spirituality, with the ultimate truth.
Truth and dharma.
And dharma. Then Swami spoke about the body is an important tool.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the same theme which continues in this discourse also.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
And if you'd like to quickly go through what Swami has told in this particular discourse.
He says the body is valueless, is a valueless iron safe.
Right.
The starting poem, the poem with which he starts this discourse, is very beautiful. He says, this body is a valueless iron safe. Like the precious jewels kept in an iron safe, there is the divine inside the body. This is Sai's word, and this is the truth. So, what he goes on to say is that we should give importance to the body because it hosts the Atma.
Right.
Because there is Atma inside.
And Swami went on to say how this is actually a practice which is prevalent in all societies.
Yes.
The importance given to the body.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing is Swami, you know, very categorically puts it that the reason why the body is taken care of mm-hmm. seems to be deteriorating.
That's true.
The idea behind this taking care of the human body seems to be deteriorating, but Swami has said that the need for it is always there because this body is an instrument. It's a path laid for you to reach your ultimate goal.
Correct.
And why it has to be taken care of.
Then he says how the body is a limited company and everything has to be in limits. And one point which Swami makes here is very beautiful when he's talking about the different kinds of knowledge. And he says young people should particularly avoid justifying the wrong use of their discrimination for self-interest.
Right.
I mean, we have a particular approach and an understanding of why we are doing certain things. And, you know, it's a kind of an arrogance when somebody tells you that, no, this is not what it is. But he says you should be more open and you should accept. Right. You should not just justify.
So we'd always use that word, convenient philosophy.
That's true. You
know, because that's what we've learned. Anything can be justified.
Correct.
With a little bit of knowledge. But Swami very clearly saying that intellect is very important. Discrimination is very important.
Mm-hmm.
But that discrimination which is for the larger good.
Correct.
Swami,
that is fundamental discrimination.
Right.
He says fundamental discrimination.
And Swami also added, you know, there is always this bookish knowledge and gathered knowledge. But what is very important is practical or common sense, you know. And Swami said that you will get that only when you get down to the society and take up service.
Correct.
That will automatically come. You know, Swami says that's where it's lacking because, you know, you are prepared with bookish knowledge. Then you are put in the society as a bread earner, you know, as somebody who is the head of the family. You don't get that common knowledge. You don't get that
correct.
Common sense or practical knowledge.
You know, it's very interesting here because, you know, you on one side are striving for your own spiritual growth.
Right.
And you want to achieve what we would think as self-realization.
Mm-hmm.
Or being aware. Swami says constant integrated awareness. To be aware of who you are at all times. Now that is what realization is all about. But the beauty is, you do your duty. If you are a sweeper, for example, you sweep the roads. And after you are a realized person, you continue to do your duty. But the approach with which you do your duty is totally different. I mean, as before realization, it's like you're doing it as a mandate. But I think that whole element of love, and when you identify yourself with everybody, I think realization is a state where you see oneness in everything. As Swami says, unity. You see oneness, the Atma in everyone. But then to do an activity just as a duty is amazing. And one would really think that all the spiritual masters were in that state. So whatever they did was so spontaneous.
Absolutely.
Whatever they did was so natural and so spontaneous, because they did it for their own people. They did it for themselves.
Right. You know, that's the word spontaneity, you know.
Mm.
Because once somebody was describing the state of the ultimate truth, where they say, till you reach there, you strive for Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema. You know, the human values or the core principles. But once you reach there, the same Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, you will still be doing it, but spontaneously.
Exactly.
Effort becomes spontaneity.
That's true. That's amazing.
Then, you know, Swami went on to say, just like how you have to take care of the body when it comes to food, when it comes to, Swami said, limited company. Swami also said the role worries and, you know, excessive thinking, how it hampers the human body.
Yes.
And, very beautifully, Swami says, no, there should be a limit even on worry.
Correct.
You know, saying that you can worry, you know, the human birth is such that you will have worries, you will have troubles, but there should be a limit. You know, that should not define your life.
Correct. And then he goes on to ceiling on desires.
Yes. And that's a very important topic. Yeah, Swami talks, Swami is always emphasized on the ceiling on the non-waste of food, money, energy and time.
Correct.
And here actually Swami adds an interesting thing to ceiling on desires. Swami says, not wasting knowledge.
Okay.
Swami is saying you are wasting knowledge. You have to have a ceiling on desire, a ceiling on the wastage of knowledge also. And Swami brings in that, I think Swami has spoken about that many occasions. Knowledge and skill.
Correct.
You know, when you, instead of skilling knowledge, we are killing knowledge.
Killing knowledge.
Swami says that.
Knowledge, skill, then
balance.
Balance and insight.
Right.
These are the four. In fact, Swami mentioned it right here in the studio.
Where we are sitting.
In the studio where we are sitting. Swami says knowledge should be skilled, that will lead to balance and insight. It should not be killed.
Right. And I think one of the rare times when Swami is including knowledge in that ceiling on desires program. It's a wonderful thing there. And then Swami went on to speak about self-confidence, self-respect.
Correct.
Which we discussed last week.
And
we spoke extensively about Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
And that is actually an example which Swami gives very often whenever he speaks about self-confidence.
Correct.
And again, you know, even as Swami does always, when he's talking about self-confidence, Swami is kind of teaching us to redefine the self, to give it that right meaning.
Correct.
You know, when Swami says self-respect, self-confidence, self-satisfaction, what is that self? You know, Swami again emphasized on that. It is not the one-lettered I. It is the one-lettered I. It's not the three-lettered I.
Correct.
You know, and Swami is saying that I is present in everybody. And Swami wonderfully puts it, you can be a bhogi, you can be a rogi, you can be a yogi, but that I is always present.
Correct.
It is not that just because you are poor, just because you are, you know, from the lower strata of the society, you do not have that self. The self is there for everybody. So self-respect, self-confidence, anybody can have. It does not depend on your status in life.
Correct.
Very wonderful point that Swami made there. And then I think Swami goes on to say that, you know, that beautiful point that Swami made. One who seeks the Atma is a gopi.
Correct.
The one who seeks food is a papi.
And so I think then he came to the point where, you know, only man is the one who falling prey to the sense of taste, tries to cook the food.
Right.
And he says, animals are more healthier, they don't have as many diseases because they eat as it is available in nature. And we as humans, we cook our food because we want good taste, and that's what is leading to many of them.
Right. And I think that is going to lead on to the next part of the discourse, where Swami is going to go into detail about food.
Yes.
Because Swami has already mentioned about how non-vegetarian food is actually understood to be very important for nutritional purposes. But Swami says that's not true. Because Swami even says that the human body is not meant for the intake of non-vegetarian food. We are, by, you know, physiological makeup, we are vegetarians.
Correct.
So I think that is where we stopped last week. And Swami goes on to talk about...
Of course, he also says that it affects the mind.
Right.
Because apart from just the physical, the doctors may see only the protein or the vitamin benefit to the human body. But there are a lot of subtler side effects, if you want to say.
Right.
So I think we should go on to the next portion of the discourse.
Exactly, that's the point we are in at right now. Well, when Swami talks about food, head and God.
Yes.
That's how Swami puts it. So we listen to that next clip, which is about 8 minutes clip. At the end of it, we'll reflect on what Swami has spoken in that part of the discourse.
కనుక మన మైండ్ ఎట్లా పోతుందంటే ఫుడ్ టు హెడ్ టు గాడ్ ఈ మూడింటికి సంబంధం ఉంటుంది.
దేర్ ఇస్ అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ ఫుడ్ హెడ్ అండ్ గాడ్.
ఈ అనిమల్ ఫుడ్ ను మనం భుజించడం చేత అనిమల్ థాట్స్ ఏ మనలో ప్రారంభమవుతున్నాయి.
వెన్ యు పార్టేక్ అనిమల్ ఫుడ్ యు గెట్ అనిమల్ థాట్స్.
చూసారా, ఎట్టి ఆహారము అట్టి భావం.
యు కెన్ సీ నేచురలీ ది టైప్ ఆఫ్ ఫుడ్ డిసైడ్స్ ది టైప్ ఆఫ్ థాట్స్.
కనుక ఈనాడు మానవత్వానికి విరుద్ధమైనటువంటి యొక్క అమానుష్యత్వాన్ని అనుభవిస్తున్నారంటే ఎంత ఘోరమైనటువంటిది.
ఇట్ ఈస్ అట్రాషియస్ దట్ మ్యాన్ ఈస్ సబ్జెక్టింగ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ టు సచ్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ హెల్ప్లెస్.
అడవుల్లో స్వేచ్ఛగా సంచరించేటువంటి మృగముల కంటే హీనమైపోతుంది అది మానవుని యొక్క మనస్సు.
మ్యాన్స్ మైండ్ ఈస్ బికమింగ్ వర్స్ దాన్ ది యానిమల్స్.
నిర్దాక్షిణ్యంగా, నిర్మోహంగా, అప్రీతిగా మానవత్వాన్ని హింసిస్తుండాలి.
Man is cruelly putting other people to suffering without
మానవునికి మానవునికి మధ్యనే సన్నిహిత సంబంధ బాంధవ్యం కోల్పోతుండాలి.
Man is losing the human approach towards other human beings in the very first.
కారణము మన ఆహార దోషమే.
The reason is the type of food that you take.
విద్యార్థులారా, ఆహార విహారాన్ని సరైన దృష్టిలో మీరు ఉంచుకోవాలి.
Dear students, enjoy food and habits in proper way.
ఏ ఆహారము మనకు సరైనటువంటి యొక్క ఆరోగ్యం కాని ఆనందానికి కాని అవకాశాన్ని అందిస్తుంది అనేటువంటి విచారణ చేయాలి.
యూ షుడ్ థింక్ బిఫోర్ పార్టేక్ ఫుడ్ వాట్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ ఫుడ్ గివ్స్ యూ.
గుర్వీకులు దినములకు రెండు పర్యాయములు భుజించేటువంటి వారు.
ది ఏన్షియంట్ వన్స్ యూస్ టు పార్టేక్ ఫుడ్ ఓన్లీ
ట్వైస్. మహర్షులు దినములకు ఒక్క పర్యాయమే భుజించేటువంటి వారు.
And there are people who take food only once a day.
Kanukane oka paryayam bhujinchetunte vaadu yogi annaru.
Person who takes food once a day is a yogi.
Rendu paryayamulu bhujinchetunte vaadu bhogi annadu.
The person who takes food twice a day,
moodu paryayamulu bhujinchetunte vaadu rogi annaru.
The person who takes food thrice a day
ఈనాడు మూడు కాదు
పర్సన్ హూ డిసీజ్.
ఇంకా ఎన్నెన్నో ఎన్నెన్ని పర్యాయం తీసుకుంటారు. మధ్య మధ్య పానీయం సమర్పయామి, కాఫీలు, టిఫన్లు ఇవన్నీ వేస్తున్నాం మనం. ఈ రకముగా ఈ జడమైనటువంటి దేహానికి సరైనటువంటి జీర్ణశక్తి లేనప్పుడు దీనికి అనేక రకమైన ఆహారం వేయటం వల్ల అజీర్ణ వ్యాధి సంభవించకేమవుతుంది.
Today we are not confining ourselves to even 3 times food, 4 times or any number of times and frequently we take. The physical body suffers diseases and indigestion because
ఒక్కొక్క నిమిషానికి ఒక్కొక్క క్యాలరీ ఖర్చు అవుతుండాలి, జీర్ణమవుతుండాలి.
The physical body consumes 1 calorie worth of food.
యువకులైనటువంటి వాడు 2000 calories చక్కగా తినవచ్చు.
Youth can take 2000 calories.
సరైన రీతిగా మనం బ్యాలెన్స్ లో ఉండాలంటే 1500 calories చక్కని ఆరోగ్యాన్ని అందిస్తుంది.
If you want to really enjoy good health, 1000 calories of food would be sufficient.
దినమునకు. కానీ ఈనాడు మనము 4000 calories తింటున్నాం మనం ఇప్పుడు.
బట్ టుడే వీఆర్ పార్టేకింగ్ 4000 or 5000.
తద్వారా నిద్ర పట్టదు.
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ దట్ యువర్ స్లీప్ ఇస్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్.
నిద్ర లేని మాట శుద్ధాలు పన్నుతాడు అని వానికి వికారమైనటువంటి భావాలంతా ఉద్భవిస్తుంటాయి.
పర్సన్ హూ డస్ నాట్ గెట్ ప్రాపర్ స్లీప్ గెట్స్ వెరీ
ఈ వికారమైన భావం లోపల తన ఆకారాన్ని మర్చిపోతున్నాడు.
అండ్ విత్ సచ్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ పర్వర్స్ ఐడియాస్ మ్యాన్
ఆరోగ్యానికి గురి అవుతున్నాడు.
మ్యాన్ లూజెస్ హిస్ హెల్త్ ఆల్సో.
కనుక దేహాన్ని సాధ్యమైనంత వరకు కూడా అద్దులో ఉంచుకొని ఆరోగ్యము పెంచుకొని మన సక్రమమైన మార్గం లోపల కర్తవ్య కర్మలు నిర్వర్తించడానికి తగినటువంటి శక్తిని మనం అందించాలి.
యూజ్ ది బాడీ ఇన్ ఎ ప్రాపర్ వే, టేక్ ఫుడ్ విత్ ఇన్ లిమిట్స్ అండ్ ఎంజాయ్ లైఫ్.
అమితంగా దేహ భ్రాంతిని కూడా పెంచుకోరాదు.
డూ నాట్ డెవలప్ ఎక్సెసివ్ అటాచ్మెంట్ అండ్
ఇది నాది అనేటువంటి మమత్వము,
ది ఫీలింగ్ ఆఫ్ మై
నేను అనేటువంటి అహంకారము,
ద ఈగో,
ఈ రెండే సమస్త అనర్థములకు మూల కారణము.
All the problems are wrought by this kind of ego and possessiveness.
కనుక కర్తృత్వ భోక్తృత్వాలను మనం కొంతవరకు తగ్గించుకోవడానికి ప్రయత్నించాలి.
We should reduce our doership and our possessive instincts.
అప్పుడే మనం చక్కని ఆదర్శవంతమైనటువంటి జీవితాన్ని అందించగలము.
Then only we can offer ourselves as an ideal life.
మనము కొన్ని రకమైనటువంటి సైకలాజికల్ గా కూడా మన యొక్క జీవితంలో అనారోగ్యము సంభవిస్తుంటాయి.
On account of certain psychological reasons also we suffer.
మీరు చక్కగా ఎప్పటికప్పటికీ మీరు ఎగ్జామిన్ చేసుకోండి.
యూ కెన్ ఎగ్జామిన్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఎవ్రీ మూమెంట్.
నా పల్స్ సరిగా ఆడుతుందా లేదా అనే అనుమానంతో చూసుకుంటే అప్పుడు ఎక్కువ తక్కువ అయిపోతుంది.
ద మూమెంట్ యూ జస్ట్ వాచ్ యువర్ పల్స్ విత్ ది థాట్ వెదర్ మై పల్స్ ఇస్ ఆల్ రైట్, ఎదర్ ఇట్ బి ఎక్సెసివ్ ఆర్ ఇట్ బి షార్ట్.
ఆ విధమైనటువంటి యోచనతో మనం పల్స్ చూడకూడదు.
యూ షుడ్ నాట్ లుక్ అట్ యువర్ పల్స్ విత్ ఎ డౌట్.
సక్రమంగా ఉన్నాయి అనేటువంటి ఒక సెల్ఫ్ కాన్ఫిడెన్స్ లో మనం జీవితాన్ని సాగించాలి.
వీ షుడ్ లివ్ ఎ లైఫ్ విత్ సెల్ఫ్ కాన్ఫిడెన్స్.
అది సక్రమంగానే బయలుదేరుతాయి.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ వీ విల్ గో ఆల్ రైట్.
ఈనాడు రాత్రికి నాకు చక్కగా నిద్రపోవాలి అనుకుంటే ఆనాడు నిద్రనే రాదు.
ఇఫ్ మ్యాన్ వాంట్స్ టు హ్యావ్ గుడ్ స్లీప్ అన్ ఎ పర్టికులర్ డే ఇన్ ఎ డిటర్మిన్డ్ వే, that very night he will not get sleep at all.
నిద్రని గురించి నీవు యోచించనక్కర్లేదు.
One should not bother about sleep at all.
రెండింటినీ యోచించకుండా చక్కగా నీ పావు నుంచి చక్కని నిద్ర వస్తుంది, గాఢ నిద్ర.
వితౌట్ బాదరింగ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ మచ్ అబౌట్ ది స్లీప్
ఇవన్నీ కూడా నువ్వు దేహములకు ఉండేటువంటి యొక్క రోగములు.
దిస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ ద డిసీజెస్.
ఇవి బలహీనతలు
విత్ ద బాడీ, వీక్నెసెస్ ఆఫ్ ది బాడీ.
ఇంత బలహీనతతో కూడినటువంటి ఈ దేహాన్ని దివ్యత్వంతో కొంతవరకు మార్చుకున్నప్పుడే ఇది సర్వబలము స్వరూపాన్ని పొందుతుంది.
It gets all strength only when you think of divinity which you really are.
మహర్షి అంతా కూడాను దీనిని అనుసరిస్తూనే వచ్చారు.
ద ఏన్షియంట్ గ్రేట్ సోల్స్
వాడు ఈ దివ్యత్వాన్ని అనుభవించే నిమిత్తమై అంతకాలం బ్రతకాలని ఆశించారు.
ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు ఎంజాయ్ ద డివైన్ లైఫ్ దే వాంటెడ్ టు లివ్ లాంగ్ లైఫ్.
ఈనాడు 60-70 సంవత్సరాలు అయిందంటే ఈజ్ ఓల్డ్ మ్యాన్ అంటారు.
టుడే ది మొమెంట్ ఎ మ్యాన్ బికమ్స్ 70 ఇయర్ ఓల్డ్,
కానీ
పూర్వకాలంలో ఓల్డ్ మ్యాన్
80-90-100 ఉండినప్పుడు కూడా వాడు చక్కని యువకుడు.
ఇన్ ది ఓల్డెన్ డేస్ ఈవెన్ వెన్ ఎ పర్సన్ వాస్ 90 or 100 హి వాస్
విద్యార్థులారా, మీరు చదివి ఉండవచ్చును, మహాభారతం లోపల 86 సంవత్సరంలో కృష్ణునికి, 84 సంవత్సరంలో అర్జునికి.
డియర్ స్టూడెంట్స్, ఇన్ మహాభారత యు మస్ట్ హావ్ రెడ్ దట్ కృష్ణ వాజ్ 86 ఇయర్స్ ఓల్డ్ అండ్ అర్జున 84 ఇయర్స్ ఓల్డ్ డ్యూరింగ్ ద టైం.
యువకులు వాడు,
దేవర్ యూత్.
ఆ యుద్దంలో ఎంత పౌరుషంగా, ఎంత ధైర్యంగా, ఎంత సాహసంగా, పుష్టికరమైన దేహంతో పోరాడుతూ వచ్చారు.
ఇన్ ద బ్యాటిల్ ఆఫ్ మహాభారత దే ఫాట్ హీరోయికలీ.
సైన్యాధిపతి అయినటువంటి వాడు ఎవరు కౌరవుల వైపున?
హూ వాజ్ ది కమాండర్ ఇన్ చీఫ్?
భీష్మాచారి.
భీష్మ వాజ్ ద కమాండర్.
అతని యుద్దంలో 116 సంవత్సరంలో అతనికి.
అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ వార్ హీ వాజ్ 106
కమాండర్ చీఫ్
అండ్ హీ వాజ్ ద కమాండర్.
ఈనాడు 116 వాడైతే కుక్కి మంచం లోపల వణుకుతూ పడిపోయింటాడు.
టుడే వన్ ఈస్ 116 ఇయర్స్, వన్ విల్ బి.
అతను 9 దినములు ఘోరమైనటువంటి యుద్దమును ఆచరించేశారు.
హి ఫాట్ వెరీ ఫెరోషియస్ వార్.
కారణం
9 డేస్.
వారికి మనోబలమే.
వాట్ ఈస్ ది రీజన్? దే ఆర్ ది
వారికి ఆహార బలమే.
దే ఆర్ ది స్ట్రెంగ్త్.
ఆత్మబలమే.
స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ.
కనుకనే ఈనాడు ఆత్మబలం ఏమాత్రమూ లేదు.
టుడే ఆత్మిక్
ఆత్మవిశ్వాసం క్షణక్షణమునకు కూడాను బంప్స్ జంప్స్
మొమెంట్ ఆఫ్
మొమెంటమే లేదు.
మొమెంట్ ఆఫ్ ద మొమెంట్
తన అభిష్టంలో నెరవేరినా ఒక ఫోటో ఒక 10 ఫోటోలు పెట్టేస్తారు.
ఇఫ్ వన్ ఫుల్ఫిల్స్ వన్ విషన్,
అభిష్టం ఏమైనా భిన్నమైనా ఉన్న ఫోటోలు అన్ని తీసివేసేస్తారు.
ఇఫ్ హిస్ విల్ ఇస్ విషస్ ఆర్ నాట్ సాటిస్ఫైడ్ హీ రిమూవ్స్ ద ఫోటోస్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్.
కానీ ఇది సరైనటువంటి స్థిరత్వం కాదు.
బట్ దిస్ ఇస్ నాట్
యు మే వర్షిప్ ఎ పిక్చర్ యాజ్ ఎ గాడ్ బట్ నాట్ గాడ్ యాజ్ ఎ పిక్చర్.
Though we should come to that last line in the end, it was almost the best punch of the whole clip. You can worship a picture as God, but you should not worship God as a picture.
Also about the fact about wavering bhakti. Now, right. Past time, Swami used to say, part-time devotees.
Part-time devotees.
In fact, I think in a very light mood, Swami has once said,
mm-hmm.
the bhakti of some of the devotees is like... It's like the electricity of Karnataka board.
Oh my God.
It's coming and going. It's so irregular. So that's how he mentions about. But then he actually starts off with food, head and God.
Okay.
And it's a very beautiful how he connects food, head and God.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, of course, about food, Swami always says sattvic food is what is to be taken,
right.
Including sprouts and others which are like as natural as possible, raw, right. Without cooking. And he says, man has become cruel and pitiless. That's also influenced by the kind of food that we take. Basically, those are animal right. instincts. And animal
actually,
nature.
You know, if you come to look at it,
mm-hmm.
then Swami is saying, you know, the food head is so related.
Mm.
It's so obvious in the current scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, one of the major problems which the developed countries and the fast developing countries are facing
mm.
is the crisis which is coming in the non-vegetarian food.
Correct.
Like, you know, what has happened, you must have heard about the foot and mouth.
Correct,
disease.
Exactly. Canned
where, you know,
food.
Yeah, mm. trying to increase the production,
mm.
you know, it's gone to the state of you are not only have we become non-vegetarians,
mm.
Swami says that we were not supposed to be.
Mm.
You know, man has come to a state where he's feeding animals like cow with non-vegetarian food,
mm.
just so that their flesh is of high protein content. And you know, this is becoming a cycle now. Mm. Literally, you know, mm. the bad qualities of your head
mm.
comes from the animals you eat. Mm. Now you're putting it back into the animal flesh
mm.
and you're affecting your health also. It's becoming like a vicious cycle.
Mm.
When Swami says, you know, that consuming animal food is rouse tendencies
mm.
and that is again going into your head and influencing your body.
Mm.
I mean, it is that is why, you know, in ancient times, the advisors in the royal court
mm.
or the advisors in a family would turn to were always spiritual masters.
Very true.
Because, you know, what mm. you can see in a short time will mm. never give you the right picture
mm.
to give you that right discrimination.
I think it's like there is a threshold and God has kept, when he says you are really pushing the body, he comes to that where your body is not meant to digest these things and the amount of calories that the body requires. And you push it with much more food and you want it to digest that food. So I think there is a threshold point beyond which it just breaks down.
Right.
And when it breaks down, it shows up in different ways, different health diseases. So one thing which is very clear is the relationship between food and head. So he says, unless you have good food, that influences the purity of your mind.
Right.
And he says, only when there is purity, that is chitta shuddhi. And in a sense, all spiritual endeavor, you know, whatever we do, any sadhana that we do, is towards achieving that purity. It's because only after purity you can go towards divinity.
And you know, the order in which Swami is coming to it is so beautiful, because in the very beginning, Swami clearly states what the body is meant for.
Correct.
And once that is clear,
mm.
the way you look at your body, you look after your body,
mm-hmm.
will all be guided by that thought.
Very true. Mm.
The moment you know that this body is meant for this purpose,
mm.
then that's what Swami is saying here. Be careful about the food you eat.
Mm.
See that it is conducive for your health and happiness.
Mm.
It is not for the joy or for the pleasure of eating mm. or for the taste of the tongue.
Mm.
Just make sure that it is good, conducive mm. for your health and happiness, because
mm.
It is a vehicle given to you. You have mm. to make sure that it is in prime condition
mm.
till the destination is reached.
Very true. He says about yogi, bogi and rogi.
Right.
I don't know which
Swami
category.
Says, I don't have a name for you people now.
No, but he used to mention in some of the discourses, I remember Swami mentioning, jiva chava means living corpse. That is the word he used to give for people who are eating more than three times. And there is a very beautiful point, a little lower than where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about, he says, although it is important to take care of the body, don't have excessive, undue attachment to the body. And then that is where he goes into I and mine. So,
you know, but talking about the food habits,
mm-hmm.
and Swami is saying, you know, eating more than three times a day. In fact, you know, many of the countries today mm-hmm. are beginning to declare obesity as an epidemic.
That's true.
As a very serious mm-hmm. health threat to the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the excessive use of junk food, I mean, mm-hmm. we're not sitting here and telling that people are eating mm-hmm. junk food, we are also into it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what, again, it comes to the thing of not knowing your goal, not knowing what this is meant for.
Mm-hmm.
And how we have gone astray.
Mm.
And you know, many countries are struggling actually because of their workforce
mm.
is becoming obese mm. and so less active.
In fact, Swami would often say that for the selfishness of the taste bud in the mouth, so you eat excessively and the whole body suffers. While the body is actually meant, because if a thorn pricks the leg, the hand immediately goes to remove the thorn.
Right.
That's how God has made the body. But we differentiate, and for the sake of the tongue, we keep eating and the whole body suffers.
The beautiful thing is Swami says that the body knows when it is not given the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the body reacts.
Mm.
Swami would say, even a dog, when it is not feeling well,
correct.
It will know I am not well, so I should not eat.
Mm.
So even if you give it food, it will not eat.
Correct.
But man is the one who, you know, bottomless pit, he is ready to put. That's what Swami has told many times in discourses. Even a dog knows that it will go and eat
that grass.
That grass, one particular grass, Swami would say, it has some digestive properties.
Mm.
It will not eat the food which you give, it will go and eat that.
Mm.
So, you know, somewhere as you said, in the quest to appease one aspect or one sense,
mm-hmm.
we are doing it at the cost of the rest of the body.
Somewhere else in the course of some other discourse, Swami has mentioned that when we take food,
mm-hmm.
once the food is digested, the gross part of the food, of the digested food, is excreted.
Right.
And the subtler aspect of the food, the subtle aspect of the food, becomes blood and flesh. I think it comes somewhere in the course of these discourses itself.
Okay.
So it comes, he says, blood and flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Then the subtlest influences the mind. They become the thoughts. So that's how there is this hierarchy, and this the impact of food on us is at three levels.
Okay.
Yes, once the food is digested, the gross is excreted. The subtle goes into blood and flesh. The subtlest goes into the thoughts. And he says, so the mind is in a way controlled by the quality and quantity of food.
My God.
So both are important. The quality of food and the quantity of food. And what are the parameters that influence the quality of food? Apart from the right kind of food that should be taken,
mm-hmm.
I think it's not without reason why, you know, people who are this staunch followers and of the sampradayam and you know, the traditional way
right.
of life, they cook their own food.
Right.
Because they want to make sure that the source from which they get the food is good, first
padartha
point.
Padartha Shuddhi. And
yeah, Patra Shuddhi, Padartha Shuddhi. And then he says the cook should have good thoughts. When he's cooking the food, the vessels you use should be good. So all this goes into determining the quality of food. Apart from the choice of food, you have these other parameters. Of course, we are able to nullify most of it by chanting Brahmarpanam.
Right.
You know, Swami, that's why he insists that we should chant Brahmarpanam, because
right.
we do not know. There are, because the subtlest aspect of food goes into thoughts. So it's very important to cleanse the food before.
In the complex and intense production cycle we are having now, it's so difficult to maintain Padartha Shuddhi and Patra Shuddhi.
Very true.
So the need for Brahmarpanam is maximum now.
That's,
you know,
true.
Talking about food and the purity of food, I'm reminded of what one of our lecturers in Vrindavan used to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to a temple, you go to a shrine,
mm-hmm.
you invariably get some prasadam, right? You, mm. you go to Tirupati, you get some prasadam, you go to Sringeri, you get prasadam. Mm. And you would say, this prasadam mm. would be cooked in a in one of the kitchens meant for this prasadam, and it would be offered to the deity, mm. and that is distributed as prasadam. Mm. And we all know how excited we are when mm. it comes to any of these prasadams. Mm. You know, we are so fond of them. Mm. And he would say, imagine you are eating hostel food. Mm. Okay, the kitchen is so far from the shrine in these mm. in these pilgrim centers. Mm. But in our hostel, mm. hundreds or even thousands of times Swami has walked up and down the kitchen.
Very true.
You know, when the food was being cooked, mm. right at the place where the mm. fire was lit, mm. Swami has stood there. Mm. Okay, the deity has been to the kitchen. Mm. And the food you eat in the hostel mm. is coming from there.
And it's not without meaning why Swami kept the dining hall as the prayer hall also.
Right, absolutely.
The prayer hall is the dining hall. Right. And it is connected just next to the kitchen.
Right.
In fact, now that we are mentioning this, I'm just trying to visualize that the cooking is actually done when bhajans are going on in the hostel. You know, at least in the evening, right, the dinner right. session, chapatis or whatever is being right. made, when the bhajan is going on in Vrindavan especially, right. we would go for that chapati making duty. But that would be when the bhajans are going on. I mean, how much pure, more pure can it get?
Absolutely. In fact, even the breakfast is being made when Suprabhatam
is going on. That's very beautiful.
Really. And actually, I mean, to tell our listeners, it's not only for the hostels. Mm. Actually, even the canteens here, mm. how many times Swami has stepped into them, and Swami has, you know, energized mm. these canteens.
You know, just thinking about this, it's really not without reason why our ancients, in the traditional way of life, the puja is always kept as a part of the kitchen.
Okay.
You know, in the traditional in Vaishnava Sampradayam or any Sampradayam you take, a portion, a corner of the kitchen is where right, the actual right. puja is done.
Right.
And so the puja part is a part of the kitchen itself. I mean, even if you see the way our hostel is structured, if Swami wanted, he could have had a separate hall for prayer. And he could have had the kitchen separate and dining hall separate.
Right.
But it is in a way following the traditional approach, but in a very scientific way.
Right.
You understand the reasoning why our ancients put that the puja room as a part of the kitchen.
Beautiful, really. And then Swami comes in this discourse to talk about age, like, you know, how at 60, 70 you start becoming old men. But you know, with due respect to what Swami is saying here, I think it's not true in the ashram, because Swami has proved that those who have devotion for him, you know, 80, 90, how many people, Sir Prakash, you see around here?
Very true.
Who work harder than people like us in their 20s and 30s.
Mm.
No, innumerable number of them. Swami would say, I'm retiring you.
Mm.
No retirement, retiring.
Mm.
Really, you know, whenever I see these people, I'm really awed by how, you know, that desire to serve Swami, the desire to do something for Swami, gives so much energy.
Mm.
You know, we work with Venkatraman, so he himself is a glowing inspiration for us.
Mm.
The amount of work he does, he's nearing 90.
Mm. You know, before he actually comes to this age, there is one point he said, if you have the apprehension that you will not get good sleep, it will happen accordingly. You cannot go to the bed and say, I won't sleep. You know, this is very similar to something which is much higher, a higher aspiration than sleep. Even for that matter, you know, realization. Like I was just discussing with you this morning.
Right.
One of the sages had told Lord Buddha that you go and the gap between your inhalation and exhalation is all that is required for you to realize yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this is what he practiced for many years, but with no no result. Then he wondered why it's happening, and in a way he was frustrated also. He said, why is this not happening? And he just left the fruit of action and he just inhaled his breath, and in that instant he got realization. I mean, it's all about letting go. It's all about letting go, and the more and more you hold it, the more and more you hold on, you're not going to get it.
No, and even enough.
He would say, Swami would say, Aduga kave o manasa.
Right.
Don't ask. It will be given.
Like, you know, in Narada Bhakti Sutra, Vishnu explains this kind of devotion to Narada, you know. He says, see Narada, the one who has discrimination and knows what is the right thing to ask at what time, I will give it to them. Because, you know, they have attained that discrimination through that intellectual process or whatever. I will give them what they ask. But that devotee who says, I will not ask, let the Lord give whatever he wants me to give. I will be behind him because I have to give him the right thing at the right time.
That's true. That is what is surrender. Swami always says surrender. Whatever happens to me is good for me. Whatever happens to me, that complete surrender to God, that whatever happens to me is good for me. I think there is a more pertinent portion about that which comes in the next part of this discourse. We'll deal with that later. But then, you know, just getting back to this age, Swami talking about Bhishma and Krishna and Arjuna. You know, one is often reminded of how lovingly Swami would speak about Sri Kondamaraju. Right. That is Swami's grandfather. Swami would say in his discourse that after attaining a ripe age, maybe after he actually crossed 100, he divided the property amongst his two sons.
Okay.
And they told him, you can come and stay with us for some time and then stay with the other for some time. He says, no, I don't want anything. I want only Satya. So, and Swami would say how he would cook for his grandfather and take care of him and then run to the school. And in the afternoon, he would come back running, serve his grandfather,
eat himself,
and eat himself and then run back to school. And his grandfather would say, you know, Kondamaraju would say, no, this is not required. Why are you straining yourself? And Swami would say, this is good exercise for me. So the story doesn't end there because he says, yes, this is good exercise for me. And by the time, you know, after Swami declared himself as the avatar and Swami moved on to the new mandir as well.
Right.
Kondamaraju was about 112. And he always knew about Swami's divinity. And he would actually walk all the way to the mandir. And Swami said that even at the age of 112, without a stick, he would walk without a stick. And Swami would be so concerned, he would tell him, see, careful if the cattle comes and hits you, or if somebody pushes you, what will happen? He says, see, my legs are strong. And Swami would even go on to say that at that age, he would chew betel nut. His teeth are still very strong at that age. And his vision was also good, and his legs were strong. And when Swami would repeatedly tell him, see, you take rest, don't walk all the way, then he told Swami, Swami, this is good exercise for me. What Swami told him in childhood, he says, Swami, this is good exercise for me, so I will come walking. And there is a very beautiful statement which Swami makes. He says, our ancients wished to live long for the sake of a godly life and therefore try to preserve the health of their bodies as well as minds accordingly. So, if you see in the case of Swami's grandfather Kondamaraju, you know, he was always very pious and always led a very pious life. And he had a long life because he was leading a godly life. And Swami says, the godly life is one where you make proper use of the body and the senses. Being born, Jantunan Narajanma Durlabham, Swami says, once having acquired the human body, make the best of it. That is godly life.
You know, talking of how people were very strong in Dwapara age, you know, even Kondamaraju Garu, the way he was healthy till the end. You know, even coming to the generations, a couple of generations before ours, you know, there was this thing of people till the age of 90 being very sturdy, very self-sufficient. Because I remember one of my classmates, during Swami's 80th birthday, he had come here. He was saying that my grandfather has come. Okay, so you're asking, what is your grandfather come for? He said, no, he comes every time when they have these sheds being put up. He comes as part of that group to help them dig and put those poles and erect those things.
My God.
And we asked him, how old is your grandfather? He said, no, he's 75 plus.
Amazing.
Okay, and he comes every year like that. Again, as you said, that godly life, to have your life sanctified through good work, through devotion, it adds unbelievable strength to
your age. Yes, you may have that ambition, but possibly that is the reason why even the sages, you know, retired to the forest, because the environment there is very pure. Nowadays, the pollution in the environment affects your body in such a way. In fact, I remember somebody mentioning that there is a person who has been doing his blood samples regularly after every year or whatever, at a regular installment. And people are now beginning to see how many new elements are being found in the blood due to pollution. The blood has undergone a dramatic change. The
composition itself is affected.
The blood itself is being affected because of the amount of pollution around. Now, everything is interlinked. Now, if you want to stop that, you have to have ceiling on desires. If you want to stop excessive carbon emission, you have to have ceiling on desires. And if everybody has ceiling on desires only, then the society will become better. Now people are becoming more conscious towards plastic, usage of plastic. Unless there is this mass movement and there is this mass endeavor towards being more healthy, it will not happen.
Right. So towards the end of this clip, of course, Swami comes to self-confidence. And you know how the bumps and jumps and self-confidence is actually affecting the health of people. And you know, Swami is saying that this trend also has come to devotion. People are taking to devotion or taking to God when it is convenient. And when they don't get what they want,
they remove the picture. That's true.
So that's why we stopped. So maybe we will go to the next clip and listen to what Swami says.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి భావాన్ని మనం క్షణక్షణములకు మార్చుకుంటుంటే మన జీవితం ఏ విధమైనటువంటి దృఢత్వాన్ని పొందుతుంది?
ఇఫ్ యు గో ఆన్ వేవరింగ్ మొమెంట్ ఆఫ్టర్ మొమెంట్, హౌ కెన్ యువర్ లైఫ్ బి స్టడీ అట్ ఆల్?
ఎన్ని కష్టములైనా నష్టములైనా దుఃఖములైనా విచారములకైనా కూడా మనం ధైర్యంగా ఆదుకుని దాన్ని ఎదుర్కోవడానికి తగిన కృషి చేయాలి.
హు షుడ్ మేక్ ఎఫర్ట్స్ టు కరేజియస్లీ ఫేస్ ఆల్ ద ట్రబుల్స్ ట్రిబులేషన్స్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్.
ఈనాటి మానవులకు ఆస్తికుడు ఆస్తికుడు అనుకుంటున్నారే కానీ ఈ ఆస్తికుల వల్లనే మన భారతదేశంలో నాస్తికత్వం అధికమైపోతూ వచ్చింది.
టుడేస్ భారతీయస్ కన్సిడర్ దెమ్సెల్స్ యాజ్ బిలీవర్స్ బట్ ఆల్ ది ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ విచ్ భారత్ ఈస్ ఫేసింగ్ ఈజ్
ఆస్తికులైనటువంటి వారే సరైన మార్గాన్ని అనుసరించడం లేదు.
ది బిలీవర్స్ దెమ్సెల్స్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఫాలోయింగ్ ద రైట్ పాత్.
చెప్పుకునేది భక్తి, చేసేదంతా భుక్తి.
They say that they are devotees, but they follow the path of bhukti.
అది కాదు నిజమైనటువంటి భక్తి.
That is not the type, proper type of devotion.
అన్నిటికీ మనం సిద్ధంగా ఉండాలి.
We must be ready for everything.
పిలిచి అడుగా చెరుకు పెట్టున బెల్లంబు.
When you call the sugar cane and ask for jaggery, will it give you jaggery?
పిగొట్టి రసము పీల్చకున్నా.
Only when you crush it and
జాతి వజ్రమైన స్థాన పెట్టవలే.
Even if it is a very valuable diamond, you have to just
cuttings lekapothe daniki viluve takku aipothundi.
Without cuttings a diamond will not
badhale lekapothe ee cheruku palanina ivadu.
If you don't crush the sugar cane, it will not give you sugar juice at all.
Kanuka manavuni yandu aneka kashtamulu nashtamulu dukkamulu anitini madinchinappude andulo nijamainatundi yokka saram manaku aavirbhavistundi.
That is the reason why when man undergoes various trials, tribulations,
kanuka bhakti 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 anaga అనేక వేదాంత ఉపనిషత్తుల యొక్క సారమును మదించి అందించినటువంటి సుధా నిధియే ఈ భక్తి అన్నారు.
డివోషన్ ఈజ్ ది ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద స్క్రిప్చర్స్ అండ్ ఆల్ ద గ్రేట్ టెక్స్ట్.
భక్తిలో ఏమాత్రం కూడా చలనం ఏర్పడకూడదు.
దేర్ షుడ్ నాట్ బి ఎనీ అన్స్టడీనెస్ అండ్ వేవరింగ్ ఇన్ డివోషన్.
దానిని స్థిరమైనటువంటిదిగా మనం నిలుపుకున్నప్పుడే,
డివోషన్ మస్ట్ బి
దృఢమైనటువంటి విశ్వాసం కలిగినప్పుడే,
స్ట్రాంగ్ అండ్ ఫర్మ్
ఫలాన్ని మనం చక్కగా అందుకోవడానికి అర్హులమవుతాం.
వి కెన్ రీచ్ ది ఫ్రూట్స్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూ డివోషన్.
ప్రేమ స్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ డివైన్ లవ్.
కనుక దేహభావం అనేటువంటిది ఉండినప్పటికీ ఆత్మ లక్ష్యంతో పల దేహభావాన్ని మనం అనుసరించాలి, అనుభవించాలి.
యు మే హావ్ ఎ ఫీలింగ్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ ఓన్ బాడీ ఐడెంటిటీ, బట్ విత్ డివైన్ థాట్స్ ఇఫ్ యూ ఎంజాయ్ ది బాడీ దేర్ ఇస్ నో హార్మ్.
విద్యార్థులైనటువంటి వారు దేహమును, ఇంద్రియములను, మనస్సును, బుద్ధిని, ఆత్మ, ఇవి ఐదే పంచ ప్రాణములు. ఈ ఐదింటి యొక్క రహస్యాన్ని మనం చక్కగా గుర్తించినప్పుడే ఇంతకంటే మనకు ఆధ్యాత్మికం మనకు అక్కరలేదు.
దెర్ ఇస్ నో గ్రేటర్ ఫిలాసఫీ ఇన్ స్పిరిచువాలిటీ దాన్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ద సీక్రెట్స్ అండ్ ది మిస్టరీస్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫిజికల్ బాడీ, ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్.
ఏ సాధన చేయనక్కర్లేదు.
There is no need for any other sadhana.
Satyanni gurtinchukunte ante chaalu.
Realize the truth. Everything is
achieved. Satyame sarvasvarupamu.
Truth is everything.
Ee naadu satyanni gurtinchukoka enni sadhanalu chesinappatikini aneka vidhamainatundi oka avasthalaku guri ayipothunnam.
People are facing all problems because they are doing sadhanas without realizing truth.
Kanuka ఈ దేహ సంబంధమైన ఇంద్రియ సంబంధమైన మనసు సంబంధమైనటువంటి యొక్క రహస్యాన్ని మొట్టమొదట గుర్తించుకునే నిమిత్తమై ఈ యొక్క సమ్మర్ క్లాస్ లోపల ఈ 15 దినములు కూడాను ఈ దేహము ఇంద్రియము మనస్సు బుద్ధి ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని బోధించమని చెప్పని వైస్ ఛాన్సలర్ కోరటం చేతనే ఈ శరీర సంబంధమైన విషయాలు నేను చెప్పడం జరుగుతుండాలి.
This summer course is arranged for understanding the mysteries and the real subtle truths about the physical body, sense organs, the mind, the intellect and the atma. And as Vice Chancellor has prayed for it, I have undertaken to explain all
jhanam,
these
things.
We say meditation.
Yemi chestunnam manam jhanam.
What are we doing in meditation?
Kannulu musukoni chakkaga kucchuntunnamu.
Closing the eyes, we sit in a good posture.
ఈ మనసు ఎక్కడెక్కడికో ఏ చాకలిండకో ఏ కుమ్మరిండకో ఏ బజారుకో పెరుగుతున్నది.
బట్ వీఆర్ అలవింగ్ ది మైండ్ టు వాండర్ ఇన్ ద బజార్ అండ్ గోయింగ్ టు ది వాక్.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి ధ్యానంలో కాలం వ్యర్థం చేసేటంటే కర్మలో ప్రవేశించు, సేవలో ప్రవేశించు, సమాజ సేవలు చేయి.
Instead of undertaking such a type of false meditation, undertake service of the society.
దీని రహస్యాన్ని నువ్వు గుర్తించకుండా ఎంతకాలం కన్నులు మూసుకున్నా నిద్ర రావచ్చునే కానీ సమాధి నీకు కుదరదు.
వితౌట్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ది రియల్ సటిలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ ది ధ్యాన, యు స్టార్ట్ డూయింగ్ ధ్యాన, యు స్లీప్ అండ్ యుల్ నెవర్ మెడిటేట్.
కనుక మొట్టమొదటి మనసు అంటే ఏమిటి దాన్ని తెలుసుకోవాలి.
అండర్స్టాండ్ ఇన్ ది వెరీ ఫస్ట్ ఇన్స్టెన్స్ వాట్ మైండ్ ఇస్,
దానికి వీలవుతుంది.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ యుడ్ బి ఏబుల్ టు కంట్రోల్ ఇట్.
ఒక ముసలమ్మ వచ్చి, స్వామి నాకు ఈ పాడు మనసు నన్ను అనేక హింసలు పెడుతుండాది, ఎక్కడెక్కడ నన్ను తీసుకెళ్తుండాది, నన్ను నానా అవస్థలకు గురి చేస్తుండాది అని ప్రార్థించింది.
వన్ ఓల్డ్ లేడీ కేమ్ అండ్ ప్రేయర్, స్వామి దిస్ మైండ్ ఈస్ గివింగ్ మీ ఆల్ సార్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ ట్రబుల్స్, ఇట్ ఇస్ డ్రాగింగ్ మీ టు వేరియస్ ప్లేసెస్ అండ్ టేకింగ్ మీ టు డిఫరెంట్ ప్లేసెస్ అండ్ గివింగ్ మీ అన్నెసరీ.
ఎవరు నిన్ను బాధిస్తున్నారని ప్రశ్నించేటప్పటికి ఈ మనస్సు అనింది.
When I asked her who is giving you trouble, she said this mind
is చెప్పు దాన్ని పట్టి చంపేస్తానన్నారు.
You show me this mind, I am going to kill it.
Kadundo naaku teliyadu anindi.
She said, I do not know where it is.
Kadundo teliyinatundi manasunu yemunu baadhistundadi matrame etta telusu.
Without knowing where it is, how do you know that it is giving you trouble?
Manase ninnu baadhistundado ninnu neevu baadhichukuntunnavo.
I do not know whether mind is giving you trouble or you are giving trouble to yourself.
Sarandi nannu baadhistundadani telisinappude dani nirmulam gaavinchadaniki prayatnam cheyavachchu.
When you know that a particular person alone is giving you trouble,
yedi baadhistundado telinappudu manasu paina nepam vesukuntunte idi sevalam somartanam.
If we are go on telling that mind is giving you trouble, it is laziness.
Kanukane manasu yokka tattvanni chakkaga manam gurtinchadaniki prayatninchali.
Understand the principle underlying the mind in the very first.
Ee indriya tattvanni kuda manam chakkaga gurtinchadaniki prayatninchali.
Understand the secrets of sense organs.
Okkokati kuda nu daiva srushti lopala chakkani rahasyanni unchi pettinatundi.
Every thing which is created by God has
అసమలేనటువంటిది ఏనాడు కూడా భగవంతుడు సృష్టించడు.
God never creates anything which does not have meaning.
అసహితమైనటువంటివి.
Everything has meaning and significance.
ఆనందమయమైనటువంటివి.
They are full of bliss.
అమూల్యమైనటువంటివి.
Most precious.
అలాంటి దాన్ని మనం గుర్తించడానికి ప్రయత్నించడం లేదు.
We are not making efforts to realize that truth.
కనుక ఈ 15 దినముల లోపల ఈ దేహము ఇంద్రియము మనస్సు బుద్ధి ఈ ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని చక్కగా గుర్తించుకుని నిశ్చింతగా నిర్మలంగా ఆదర్శవంతమైనటువంటి విద్యార్థులుగా తయారు కావాలని నేను ఆశిస్తూ ఆశీర్వదిస్తూ నా ప్రసంగాన్ని విరమిస్తున్నాను.
డ్యూరింగ్ దీస్ 15 డేస్ యూ హావ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ద ఫిజికల్ బాడీ, ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్, ద మైండ్, ద ఇంటెలెక్ట్ అండ్ ది ఆత్మా, అండ్ మేక్ యువర్ లైఫ్ free from worries, pure and also ideal. And thus I bless you and bring this discourse to a close.
And that was the end of this discourse. And you know, Swami is again bringing out the point of idealism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when in the concept of bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because Swami says that people who are turning away from the path of devotion or away from divinity is mm-hmm. is because of those who are in the path of devotion, those who are devoted,
mm-hmm.
they are not expressing idealism in their lives.
Okay.
That is what is turning them away. That's why Swami is saying that, you know, it is because of believers and their conduct that many are becoming atheists.
I mean, I think it's because of the false belief. In a way, you know, there's a lot of, I would say, misunderstanding that if you are a devotee of the Lord, you will not have any trials and tribulations in your life. It will be a path of roses. But looking at the lives of saints and sages, which of them had a really rosy and simple life? All of them went through a lot of difficulties and tests. Like how Swami says, the diamond has to be cut. Only then we can experience the luster.
Right.
And here is a very beautiful statement. He says, a devotee should be ready to gladly accept everything as God's gift. It is good for me. You know, this kind of surrender is something which binds Swami to you. The moment you surrender to Him, then He has to be there all the time looking at you. And there is a very beautiful story which Swami says about whatever happens to me is good for me. About the king and the minister.
Right.
You know, once when the king is actually cutting the sugar cane, he cuts his finger. And the minister comes and tells him, see, whatever happens to you is good for you. The king gets very wild and he says, throw this minister in the prison. So he's imprisoned. And so the king, after a few hours possibly, has gone out for hunting. And during the hunting, a set of tribals come and attack the king's party, and they take the king as hostage. Somehow or the other, the king has wandered off away from his party, and then the tribals attack him and they take him, not knowing that he is a king. And they are actually going to offer him as a sacrifice to the goddess,
deity,
as a tribal deity. And the moment they see that his finger has been bandaged, they say that, see, you cannot offer him because he is incomplete and he is having a wound. And then it strikes to the king that, oh, okay, what the minister said was after all right. So he comes back to the palace and goes straight to the prison and calls the minister and says, see, because of what you said, that's exactly true. Because of the cut, my life was saved. He says, in my case, that is right. But what about you? How has it helped you? You only went to the prison. Then the minister says, if I was not in the prison, I would have accompanied you. And since I am complete, I would have become the sacrifice for the deity. So everything, you know, this ups and downs and all the difficulties that we face in life, we have to accept it as good for me. Right. And this is God. This is what God wants me to go through. I think that kind of surrender.
You know, a point which Swami makes much later, not in this context, much later, but it is very relevant to what you're saying now, is when Swami is saying that no, God does not create anything without purpose.
Very true.
There is absolutely no accident or no, just a placeholder or something like that in God's plan. Everything is there for a particular purpose and nothing is useless.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't help thinking of Kung Fu Panda. You know, you think of Kung Fu Panda, you wonder how can this, you know, Kung Fu Panda, how a panda can become the dragon warrior. But what is meant to be is meant to be. It's just amazing.
Right. And you know, this statement is really beautiful, which Swami says here. You know, Swami is addressing the students directly where he says, you may have body consciousness, but your lives should be guided by atmic awareness.
Correct.
You know, and Swami is saying that it's not easy that everybody gives a body consciousness. It is there. But make sure that the guiding principle is the awareness of the atmic.
But I think that is the absolute truth, because I don't think anybody can go beyond body consciousness. Like, everybody is aware that there is a body and the body is undergoing pain, or the body is undergoing a problem, or the body is undergoing pleasure, whatever. But be aware that the body is undergoing. Don't identify yourself with the body.
Right.
That's what it is. And you know, in this context, Swami has even mentioned earlier about the Pandavas. If the Pandavas were sitting in the palace all the time and leading a comfortable life, they would not have got the kind of wisdom and the kind of experience that they had. Because they were exiled, because they went through hardships. And he says, wisdom comes out of sorrow and comes out of hardship. When you actually face hardships and sorrow, That is a stepping stone. Right. That gives you...
No, that's what they say whenever this question comes up, why does bad happen to good people?
Mm.
You know, when you've been good all your life, when you've done nothing but good, when calamity strikes, you will invariably turn within or you will turn to God. Because that is when you will be perplexed with life. You know, when I have not hurt anybody, why does this happen to me?
Correct.
And it is only, you know, a life which has been filled with goodness will have that kind of, you know, vichara, which Swami says, atma vichara. Only that will prepare you to turn towards God.
Very true.
And that's what happened with the Pandavas, you know. Every situation, it's a process where they were faced with calamity, they were faced with hardships. They would reflect why this is happening and the support that Krishna has with them.
Correct.
Like, you know, when Swami is saying that nothing comes to you without a purpose. If Krishna is there and this is happening to us, then there must be some purpose for us.
Very true.
You know, that, when you mentioned about Pandavas, these three things actually kept them focused on their goal.
I mean, this drama which Swami kind of directed in 99, in the year 1999, this section was very beautiful because it speaks about the hardships and it speaks about the difficulties that the Pandavas and the humiliation that the Pandavas have undergone. And Swami very beautifully says, in the drama there is Lord Krishna who comes and he takes out his hairpin, and he takes a palm leaf and he writes something on it and he gives it to them and says, when you are absolutely, you think that this is it, I cannot take it any longer, then you open this. This is a secret mantra that I am giving you. And at one point of time when they really are recollecting all the humiliation they have gone through and the difficulties, and they say, we can take it no more, they open that palm leaf and it says, this too shall pass. So that's a way of saying that
very dramatically, you know, choreographed scene. I remember where Bhima reels out one after the other the humiliation they're going through.
Correct.
And Yudhishthira reads out that same message.
This too shall pass. Yeah.
Very powerful scene. You know, coming to this point where Swami is talking about Swami says a lady comes to him and says,
about the mind.
Mind is troubling. And then very interesting, very beautiful point Swami is saying that almost like you don't have the right to blame the mind until you've understood it.
Correct. Very true.
You know? You cannot simply say that my mind is troubling me. You cannot put the blame on the mind unless you know the working of the mind and how the mind is affecting you. Unless you have unraveled that mystery, you have no right to blame the mind.
Very true.
You know? And
he talks about meditation as well. You know, I think a couple of episodes back, we read out the letter which Swami had written in the Vision of the Divine Book. In that, Swami mentions, meditation is nothing but rising above desires. You know, going to the desireless state, that is what meditation is. So, coming back to the mind, and then he says, God does not create anything without a purpose. So basically, manaiva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayo. So even for bondage and for liberation, you have to go with the mind.
You know, talking about this mind, and Swami saying, show me the mind, kill it. I remember a very beautiful incident, you know, which happened in the interview room. Once when Swami was with a set of boys, Swami materialized a diamond, a huge one. Okay, huge. They had never seen a gem of that size. And it was shining, sparkling. Okay, and Swami, in his childishness, you know, he's the most excited.
Correct.
Even among children. So Swami was like telling, see how it's shining. See thousands of faces, see how it's shining, shining. And you know, one boy who was there in the group, he just quipped. He said, Swami, make our lives also shine like that diamond. Okay? And Swami said, definitely, give me your life, I'll make it shine more than this diamond.
Pah.
Okay.
Beautiful.
And then Swami said, what is a diamond? What do I tell about diamond? So then one of the boys said, Swami, die mind. That is the message. Swami said, yes, die mind. The mind has to die. So another boy quipped in the meantime. He said, Swami, kill our minds. Swami said, yes, give me your mind. I will kill it for you.
Pah.
You know, what a beautiful and simple message. Swami says, give me your mind and I will kill it for you.
Pah. I think either you go through bhakti or you go through jnana, whatever. If you want to go through bhakti, you offer everything to the Lord. say, God, you do it. If it is jnana, then you try to understand it and then you overcome it. You know, that very beautiful story he says about bhakti and jnana marga, although it's a bit going off track, I'd very quickly like to mention it. He says, God is like the owner of a double-storied house and he is walking on the balcony.
Okay.
And Maya is the dog. You have to reach God, you have to cross this Maya and go. He says, if you stand at the gate and shout, God, come and help me, that is bhakti marga. He'll come down and he'll
once
take you.
When you're with the master, the dog will not attack you.
Exactly. So, but if you are following jnana marga, you will know how to handle the dog and go inside.
So Swami says that, you know, you become in oneness with the master. Swami says sarupyam. You know, when you become like the master, the dog will think that you're the master and let you in.
Oh, very beautiful. That's
so,
nice.
That is the path of inquiry.
So then he again comes back to the point that purity is most important. And he says, hence I hope and bless that during this fortnight you'll understand thoroughly the nature and the role of the body, the senses, the mind and intellect and the Atma, so that you may blossom forth as ideal students endowed with purity and equanimity. Purity is at the base, it's like the basic ingredient.
Purity and equanimity. Swami places both in the same platform.
Equanimity he has always mentioned, even in his historic letter. He says, I have my definition of, I have my definition of a devotee. He should not be either elated with happiness or depressed with sorrow. So, and at different points of time, you know, Swami has told how mind is like a mirror. And there are various, things that block the reflection.
Okay.
You know, the dirt or the impurities. The impurities is the right word. Impurities that block our own reflection.
Okay.
So, I think he goes more on that in the coming discourses. But Chitta Shuddhi or purity, that he has always spoken about. And I believe one of the, senior devotees once asked Swami, you have started the Satyasa organization. And what is it? I mean, what is the purpose of it? Why have you started this organization? See, he says, I have nothing to do with the organization, although I have lent it my name. The organization is meant for the devotees to sanctify their lives and to acquire Chitta Shuddhi, to acquire purity through Seva. So, any activity you do, bhajan, you do seva, you do. So, the organization is meant to acquire Chitta Shuddhi. That's the purpose of this organization. Nothing else. It means he has not set up the organization to propagate his name or to do anything for himself. He has nothing to do. He has nothing to lose or gain from the organization. It is meant for you as devotees. You know, in the Western canteen, as you walk up, there is a saying that they have written there. As you pick your plate, it says, I have started the Sri Satyasai organization. Come and sanctify your lives by being a part of it. It's amazing.
Amazing. So I think we've completed this discourse.
Okay.
And we're eagerly waiting for the next discourse, which we'll take up next week. That, dear listeners, brings us to the end of this episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. We hope you've enjoyed this discourse as much as we have. You can write in your comments, your thoughts, if you have any suggestions to improve this program, or more importantly, if you have any thoughts to share about the discourse which Swami has given, you can write to us at listener@radiosai.org. We would be very glad to share these thoughts in the coming weeks. In a short while from now, Bishu will be taking over for his last segment of the day, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet and offering this effort of ours ever so gratefully to him. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Sai Prakash. Thank you for joining us and happy listening.
Bhayaharana Vandita Charana భవ భయ హరణ వందిత చరణ శ్రీనాథ గురు మాధవ సౌరీ హరిజ జయ పాద జయ మాధవ సౌరీ మంగళ చరణ కలిమల గగన జయ రాధ జయ మాధవ.